WWE proudly presents WrestleMania on Blu-ray and DVD. A night of iconic superstars.
So,
give me a hell yeah.
What you gonna do, brothers?
Finally!
Heart-pounding action.
Yes!
History has been made at WrestleMania!
And the most shocking moment in WrestleMania history.
I don't see any intimidation on the face of Brock Lesnar.
Did anyone expect this?
Plus, get over 4 hours of exclusive extras, including the entire 2014 Hall of Fame ceremony, featuring the induction of WWE legend, the Ultimate Warrior. Experience the revelry.
Then, now, and forever.
Own the celebration. WrestleMania on Blu-ray and DVD.
What is it?
It's time to go back.
Welcome.
To Generation S. It's a podcast about growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s. And let me put it to you this way. If by the time this event that we're discussing today rolled around, you were done with pro wrestling, well, this podcast might be for you. I'm Dan Kemp, joined by first ballot Generation S Hall of Famer and my best friend, Mr. Lou Carnevale.
Only a best friend would come on and talk about this travesty of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, because two things. Again, I mentioned I was not watching wrestling. But I was not a diehard by the time WrestleMania 30 rolled around. But we have to talk about it, right? Because the whole reason we're doing this is because we're leading up to WrestleMania 40. We're very excited. It's coming soon. And
gotta finish the story.
We're finishing our story of Generation S. Yeah. As you may recall, the last couple episodes we've kind of talked about a little bit. We actually already have the first episode of the brand new podcast recorded. So we'll have a teaser out for that next week. We are transitioning the show, ladies and gentlemen. We are trans podcasting here from a nostalgia 90s podcast to a retro gaming podcast, which we will call Backwards Compatible, a Generation S retro gaming podcast. We'll just call it Backwards Compatible for brevity's sake, but that's the whole name, so you know that the Generation S brand is not going anywhere. We're just going to be focusing this podcast channel on video games, and who knows, maybe every once in a while we will bring back a Generation S special. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But so in a couple weeks' time, you'll see it on the feed, Backwards Compatible. If you're a retro gaming fan, give it a shot. I'm excited. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it. So, but before we get there, we got to talk wrestling. So we are going to, we started the show with wrestling. I think we called it out the first time, right? Like our first episode was pro wrestling. We're going to end this bad boy in its full-time run with pro wrestling, and we're almost there. So next week will be our last official episode of Generation S for the time being. And until we get there, we're talking WrestleMania 30 today. And I don't know how much I have to say about this show because I don't really know much about what was going on at the company at this time. And I just... I wasn't really watching wrestling at all, and the card looking at it now kind of sucks. So
yeah,
I'm not trying to be negative, obviously, but thankfully next week's episode will be going out on a very high note, kind of actually the climax of our time watching wrestling during our childhood, and that's all I'll say for right now. But until then, let's talk WrestleMania 30. So did you? This was, I guess, 10 years ago, basically. So yeah, it was 2014.
Disgusting.
Right? So where were you in life at that point? Let's start there, because I feel like we should just reminisce a little bit here.
I was still working for the Islanders.
Okay.
I was living on Long Island, working for the Islanders. Engaged, I think?
I think you were engaged.
I was engaged.
Yeah.
Was engaged. My friend was working for WWE, so my perspective on things were a little different.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff was free, like the network. The network was free and everything else that came along with it. But I was watching, but I wasn't totally vested in it. I safe to say I wasn't a regular watcher of Monday Night Raw post-college and never have been.
Yeah.
I would even say post-college, because I was doing some work for TNA, I was more into TNA because if they were coming to my area and I was going to help promote them, I need to know what was going on.
Exactly.
Be kind of awkward. Hey, I'll help you promote. Is Sting still the champ? No, Sting has been champ for 3 years. Well, shit.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be like that. So I had to stay up on the product. This was the start of a new era. You know, WrestleMania 20, as they said, where it all began again, and it did with WrestleMania 30, but I think the most important thing to know going into this that's a little in front of the camera and a little behind the camera was this is when CM Punk walked out. This is when CM Punk walked out of the WWE. You know, everybody has their own interpretation of it. Was he justified? Was he not justified? You know, it all depends on, I guess, where your fandom was at the time. Perhaps it could be a professional view of how Punk walked out, just kind of left everybody high and dry. But it happened, and it helped shape this WrestleMania card. And here we are 10 years later, and CM Punk not being able to perform at WrestleMania 40 for a different reason is shaping this card. So it's interesting that Punk, 10 years apart, is affecting a big anniversary show directly, but this one a little bit indirectly. But
I guess it's because he's still. I was just going to say because he's still around. Obviously, now he wants to be there this time, but he can't because he's injured. Because you're right, this whole time around we're looking at Seth Rollins and Punk. That was obviously very heavily telegraphed until Punk got injured, and now Seth Rollins is very heavily involved in at least night one's main event with The Rock and Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, which I wouldn't have happened otherwise, right? Or maybe it would have. I don't know,
but you know what's even crazier is a lot of people are saying that this is not only CM Punk's fault, this is Jungle Boy Jack Perry's fault. The whole glass thing, and he fought with Punk, and then Punk wanted to go after him, then he went to Tony Khan. If Jungle Boy didn't do any of that, there's a good chance Punk will probably still be in AEW.
That's a good point. I mean, you're right. There's so many things you can go back and say was the moment. I mean,
there's so many factors, but
yeah,
can't deny that Punk walking out in January of this WrestleMania, the January before this WrestleMania, had a huge effect on it because he was supposed to fight Triple H.
That's right.
So he wasn't the main event at WrestleMania 28. He was, you know, he was the champ, but the main event was Cena versus The Rock.
Yep.
Where The Rock won. And then the next year, he was one of the main events that we went to where he fought Undertaker. So he wasn't the main event there. And here we are going into WrestleMania 30, and he's still not going to be the main event. It's going to be him versus Triple H. And he got pissed, and he says, I don't need to fight Triple H. Triple H needs to fight me. And he walked out.
Yeah.
There was other issues, but that's what led to a convoluted WrestleMania. And also, Batista won the Rumble, and people didn't want that. They wanted Daniel Bryan to win it. So, yeah, it was a cluster.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, again, you look at the parallels of that Royal Rumble of 2014 with the 2024 Royal Rumble, where back then, like, I feel like, again, this is just my kind of perception, it was like Vince McMahon would purposefully do what the people didn't want just to fuck with them, right? To troll them, essentially. Is what it felt like, anyway. Whereas now, you've got Triple H running things, and it may be, again, something that's coming clear as day, at least I hope it is, because I want it to turn out this way, but you're seeing, essentially, Cody with, like, he won the Rumble. Like, that's what people wanted. And it's amazing how great the product is when you do give the people what they want. We react to it very appropriately. You know what I mean? And so I feel like they're trying to right the wrongs of the Daniel Bryan story with the Cody Rhodes story here. You know what I mean? Like, from the get-go.
Yeah, but the Cody thing,
they're behind it.
If he was really stepping aside, if either this was a really good ploy by Triple H and The Rock, that they knew the crowd was going to turn on The Rock. But what if they didn't? What if Cody stepped aside? The crowd just went apeshit. They're all, oh my God, The Rock's coming back. What were they really going to do with Cody? Which is probably another episode we could do. But, you know, I don't know. Either Triple H just really, really knows the audience, or they went, oop, crap, what are you going to do with Cody?
But, well, and the thing is, like, maybe he actually, like, I would say if you're looking at Vince versus Triple H, I would say Triple H, I would give the benefit of the doubt on that as far as knowing the audience. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, people have turned on The Rock before. They have. They booed him when he was holding up Roman Reigns' hand at the Rumble however many years ago when Roman won, and The Rock did not like that. And what's funny is if you look at The Rock's promos, which are amazing, by the way, if you're keeping up at all on social media, I've sent you some of the promos he's cut.
Yeah.
Amazing promos. If you're a Rock fan, those are face promos. If you're in Rock's corner, like, he's not acting like a bad guy. He's acting like he always does, but now we don't want to like him, so you see him as a heel. He hasn't changed much as he, I mean, I guess a little bit, but like, he's still doing the Rock stuff. And like, again, if you were on the Rock side through this whole thing, let's say you didn't know what was going on. You thought Rock was a babyface and you assumed Cody was the heel. You had no idea what was going on. And you watched one of his promos. You're like, yeah, I mean, that was it's pretty like badass babyface promo he's cutting, because he had no idea. Like, he hasn't changed that much. He's still treating himself like he is a face.
And that was the same thing. Going to WrestleMania 30, Batista was back.
Yeah.
So they wanted Daniel Bryan to fight Orton, and they got Batista instead.
Yep.
And that was the first time they go, no, we don't want this. And time to turn Batista heel, because the crowd wants Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's virtually the same thing.
Yeah, and it's just 10 years later, and I think they're going to do it better. I don't know, I have high hopes. The match card this year is shaping up to be much better than 10 years ago. We'll just say
that. Well, there you go. There's the ball on the tee for you to go over the match card here.
There it is. I was going to say, perfect segue, Dan. Thank you. I know. Here we go. So 8 matches on this card, by the way, which is, I feel like, one of the lowest count of matches we've seen at a WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember what 20 had, but I feel like this was less. But let's just jump into it. So our first match of the night, we have a fatal four-way tag team elimination match. This is like a thing at Mania now, apparently. Like, it's like throw all the teams in one match and let them go nuts. I feel like
that's what they're doing this year. It's a six team tag team title ladder match.
And whatever, on one side I'm like happy, like these guys are getting a payday, you know what I mean? Like, I'm fine with that, you know. So but anyway, so we have the Usos who are, you know, obviously still around, against Los Matadors, Diego and Fernando,
of course,
aka Primo and Epico. Yep, Primo Cologne and Epico with El Torito. Apparently that's important in this match here. The Real Americans, which were Cesaro and Jack Swagger, and with Zeb Coulter, and then finally Curtis Axel and Ryback. And the winner of the elimination match. Again, I haven't seen this event, so I can't talk about the matches, but you watched the event. Do you remember anything about this?
I remember the crowd was really getting upset that Cesaro was kind of stuck in this tag team with Swagger that really wasn't going anywhere, because if you remember the year before when we were at WrestleMania, Swagger fought Del Rio for the world title.
That's right.
And now WrestleMania 4, it's like, oh geez, really? Yeah, that was a real match.
Yeah.
Cesaro wasn't really doing much, and then he's stuck in this. It's going to sound weird. The Usos were just, I think the Usos are so, so overrated.
You still think that now?
I watched their match and it's very, very bland. I think the Uso splash is one of the sloppiest splashes I've ever seen. I said on our last show, it's one of the worst top rope maneuvers I've ever seen at any level.
Yeah.
It's like there's no height. There's no speed. They land on their knees and like fumble like to the person. They do a bunch of super kicks that, okay, gotcha. I get it. The Bucks do it too. I just don't see it. I don't think they're bad. But I don't think they're great. I think they're very average.
Right.
And that's no disrespect. They're 1,000 times better athletes than me. I can't do it better than them. No way. But I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I see. If you take an Usos match from WrestleMania 30, and I know they're fighting each other this year. So if you take an Usos match at WrestleMania 30 and the Usos match at WrestleMania 38, 39, to me, it's pretty much the same shit. Nothing's changed. It's just in a better storyline.
I was going to say, well, better storyline. I also disagree with, I think their presentation also helps. Like, even if their wrestling style isn't that different, I feel like this kind of like thug gimmick they've had going for a couple of years, I think suits their style more.
No, their gimmick is good. I'm talking about take away the bells, take away the whistles, take away the storylines, bell rings, go.
Well, that's fair.
Very average.
But again, I mean, there's so many great wrestlers that are very average if you take away all those things. Think about it. You know what I mean? Like, the obvious one, Hulk Hogan, right? That's very average in the ring. You take away the gimmick, you take away the crowd, you take away everything. I'll say it, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm going to be honest. I think he's a very boring wrestler after he got injured. But
yeah,
the gimmick and the crowd and everything.
That was the thing, though. Austin got injured. There was nothing he could do about it.
And that's fair. But either way, but the crowd ate it up, so it didn't matter. That's my point is, I don't think wrestlers are great just because of their work rate, and I don't think that's ever been the case.
Sure.
Although one of my favorite wrestlers, of course, is Samoa Joe, and he's a freak. I mean, at least back in his heyday, was a machine. So, it's funny that he's my favorite wrestler, but anyway. All right. So, yeah, elimination there. The Usos coming out victorious. So that pretty cookie cutter match, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah. But it wasn't the last we saw of Cesaro that night.
That's right. We'll get to that here in just a few matches. But the ring time for the bell to bell time for that match, by the way, 16 minutes, 13 seconds, in case you were curious.
Not bad. You got bunch of guys that can go. You know, they're all in their prime. They can all put up a good show. And it was on the pre-show. So that's, I think a pre-show is not what it used to be. Yeah, a pre-show, if you're on Sunday Night Heat, was not exactly something to be prideful of, and it's now not so much. If you're, AEW does title matches. I mean, this is a title match, but this is WrestleMania. AEW does title matches on their buy-in, as they call them, the pre-show.
Yeah.
So
get people in the door.
The buy-in, the pre-show, the opening match of the night is not what it used to be.
Nope, absolutely not. And I'm trying to think, have they had pre-shows for the recent events? I guess they probably have.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
I'm going to check it out. Yeah, because I haven't watched a full Mania in years. I watched night two last year and most of night one. So I guess, but it's split up into two nights now, so it's a little different. All right, so next match on this night here goes directly into the story we were talking about earlier with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan facing off against Triple H with the stipulation that whoever won this match would be added to the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match later that night, the match for both the belts. And so we had Daniel Bryan, who coming in very hot, who, depending on who you ask, they either, this was the plan all along, or it's no, the fans really pushed back and you had no choice but to put him into this spot. Just out of curiosity, where do you fall on that?
Was not camp? The plan.
You
was
feel like not, they truly no, pivoted. This was
I think at best, if Punk didn't walk out, Brian would have been added to the main event somehow.
Okay.
And if Punk did truly not walk out, you still would have had Punk versus Triple H. And then somehow Daniel Bryan would have been added to that main event. Somehow, because I don't know where else he would have stuck him on the card.
Yeah, and he needed to go somewhere because he was still, obviously, it'd be insane to leave him off the card at this point.
Or you just give him a throwaway match like they're giving LA Knight. It's funny to say that LA Knight's fighting AJ Styles in a throwaway match, but guess what?
It's going to be a great match,
like your number. It's going to be a good match, but in the grand scheme of things, he was fighting for the world title the last couple months. He's like the top five in merchandise. Everybody pretty much thought as a foregone conclusion he was going to fight Logan Paul for the U.S. title, and he's just in a match. Now, I'm not saying two guys from TNA at WrestleMania 40 is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're fighting AJ Styles. That's pretty cool. But if you're thinking you're going from a world championship match to you're probably going to beat a mainstream, I want to say mainstream. I can't say mainstream with Logan Paul because I'm pretty sure everybody might. I was at a St. Paddy's Day party this weekend with about 50 people, and I guarantee 48 out of the 50 people had no idea who Logan Paul was.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that's all age brackets. That's from people in their 60s down to kids in their teens. Probably, I would say, two people there, and one of them was a wrestling fan.
Huh, okay.
So I guarantee nobody knows. I think WWE is really putting a lot of eggs in a basket for the younger generation to really give a shit that follow Logan Paul that he's gonna watch. They're going to watch WWE and stick around. But anyway, I digress. WWE has done it before. You're red hot. Congratulations. Here's a mid card match.
Well, but what I think they're going to do is you're right. Logan Paul would have made sense because that would have put him in a title match. At the same time, could this just be keeping him warm for post-Mania world title picture? Like, he's still in it, and just this particular match isn't really going to mean much, and then...
No, I mean, what is he going to get? He's going to beat AJ Styles, and then what? He's going to fight Cody? You're not going to beat Cody for the title.
Well, that's fair. Or he goes to Raw, and he challenges McIntyre, who I'm 99% sure is going to beat Rollins.
Who should?
I think he absolutely should, and he needs challengers.
and McIntyre's going to hold the title until Punk comes back at SummerSlam.
Well, that's fine, but I think LA Knight would be a viable contender. They're doing a draft, I'm sure, right?
Maybe.
Mark, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and make that prediction right now. You're hearing it on this podcast. They do a draft every year now, I'm pretty sure. LA Knight's going to go to Raw, and he's going to challenge McIntyre at some point before SummerSlam. That is my prediction.
Or he wins Money in the Bank.
Or he could win. Is he in Money in the Bank?
The actual pay-per-view itself.
Yeah, it's its own show. I forgot. We'll see. I'll tell you what. We're going to save this clip, and if he actually does it, we're going to timestamp it so that I can throw it out there and be like, I fucking called it. Anyway, sorry.
Yep.
Let's get back to this card that we really don't care about. Here we go. Daniel Bryan beat Triple H, by the way, in the actually the longest match of the night here, with coming in at 25 minutes, 58 seconds. Obviously, you knew Daniel Bryan was probably going to win, but what were your thoughts on this match?
I thought it was a very good match.
Okay.
I thought it showed why Triple H is one of the best of his generation. Take away all the backstage hoopla, justified or unjustified, boss's son-in-law, married the boss's daughter, the clique. He showed you why he was one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And he took a beating. But he also gave Daniel Bryan also took a really big beating, but he put him over.
Yeah.
He put over Daniel Bryan to get him into that main event spot. And, you know, again, talking about the trickle down of Punk leaving, I think they could not have done without going there yet that really big thing that they do later in the night if they didn't have Daniel Bryan in the main event.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. Nope, I agree.
If it was just Batista and Orton, and that other thing happened, would not have been good.
Nope. Well, and we'll get to it. We'll talk about it though. All right, we're moving on down to match number three. This was a 6-man tag team match with really nothing going for it, as other than just a 6-man tag team match. What was the storyline here?
The Shield was really dominant at this point.
Okay.
Rollins, Reigns, and I was going to say Mox, but Ambrose.
Yeah.
Against the authority of Kane and the New Age Outlaws. They were teaming up with Triple H and Stephanie, who also had Orton. So it was like the Corporation 2.0 pretty much at this point.
Yep. That's exactly what I was going to put it was. Because I'm watching Reliving the War right now on YouTube, which is a fantastic show. I've talked about it before. If you love anything about old wrestling and you want to see how the show stacked up Nitro and Raw back in the day, watch this guy. He's great. Wrestling Bio is his name. But obviously, we're in mid-1999, and at the forefront is the corporation, and now it's the corporate ministry from back then. But you're right. So like seeing that, you're like, oh, yeah, it's literally just rehashed corporation BS.
Yeah.
But very short match, thankfully.
That's all it needed to be.
Yeah, very dominant short match from what it looks like here with the Shield coming out on top at 2 minutes and 56 seconds long.
It was setting up something much bigger
that
they couldn't do at WrestleMania, which is the Shield was going to fight the actual authority with Triple H, Orton, and Batista, which was great. And then they go on to fight the Wyatt family also in the fall. So it's setting up two of the best matches the Shield had. And then, things obviously changed.
Yes.
But it was what it needed to be. It gave you the showcase of these weren't up-and-comers. Like, these are the guys of the future versus the guys of the past. It was what it was. You know, Kane's all about business. Kane, and the Outlaws were buddies, and he got a nice payday. And, the Outlaws are probably like, great, we're going. We're in and out in 3 minutes. We get a payday and we're out. We're good to go.
Well, and it's funny too, because again, like, and I can't remember how Kane was looking around this time, but like you look at Billy Gunn even now, dude looks amazing. Like he didn't look out of place in a match with these up and coming, future stars. Right. I mean,
this time period, he was corporate Kane. So he wore like the slacks,
but he was in good shape though. You're right.
He was in good shape. No, he's in good shape. And, I don't think Kane started to deteriorate in the ring until he started to make those really sporadic appearances.
Yeah, he wasn't actively, all the ring rust and everything like that. And,
he's a big dude. He's gonna break down quicker and he's going to move slower. But
yeah,
I don't think Kane at this point was bad in ring.
No.
I did like at this point they were doing with Kane was he would... I don't know if it was around this time, but in general, like corporate Kane, he would talk really nice backstage, and then like the other part of him would come out.
Oh, yeah.
Can you please go to the ring? Like, can you? I really need you to go soften up Daniel Bryan for me.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to do that. I need you to do that for me.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like, they would have him like having like a split personality.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool.
So there was more to it than, yeah, just him wearing slacks.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. I like that then. All right. Well, then let's move on to the next match. What should have been a springboard for certain superstars turned out to not be the case, but we didn't know it at the time here. This was the 31-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And was this the first one they did? I can't remember.
I don't believe, maybe it was.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know. It's been so long. It's been over 10 years.
Let's put it this way. Did they have one?
They didn't have one the year before. Yeah, and they didn't have it. So yeah, this has got to be the first one then. So it was basically just a Royal Rumble, but the winner got a really big ass Andre the Giant trophy is what it boiled down to.
Do you remember our pre-show match when we went to WrestleMania 29?
The pre-show match. Was that The Miz against
Wade Barrett?
Wade Barrett for the IC title. That's right.
And Miz was a face. It was a good match, too.
It was a great match. And it was still light out. That's what I remember about it. It was like a daytime match because we're outside. It was kind of cool. It was awesome.
Yep.
Anyway, so here we had, 31 guys with, who was in this match? The Big Show. And I got to ask the question, how do you eliminate a 7'5", 500-pound giant? You just can't do it. And yet.
I don't know, JR.
By God. And yet Cesaro came out on top and not only eliminated the Big Show last, but like picked him up and like deadlifted him over the ropes. Like Cesaro is a strong dude.
This was supposed to be the push. And it really wasn't.
And it was
for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, because then after this, he paired up with Heyman soon after this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was in Money in the Bank and. Yeah,
nothing.
Because Daniel Bryan, after this, gets injured, and he's in the Money in the Bank, which was for the titles.
Yep.
And Cena won that, and Lesnar left him in a pile of puke, vomit, and shit at that SummerSlam of my engagement party that we watched that night. Like, oh my God, he's killing him!
Yo, dude, that was like that blew our mind. I mean,
that was awesome.
We're not talking about that today, but holy shit, that's been almost 10 years. That's insane, and that was like. Because we were like, oh my God, like we've never seen Cena annihilated like this. Like,
but just, not even that. You've never seen a main event of a pay-per-view.
That
in WWE.
One-sided.
Just like it's Cena got like two moves off.
And it wasn't even like it was a 2-minute squash like a Goldberg match. This match was probably 15 minutes, if I recall correctly, at SummerSlam.
And Cena took some beat. Took a
he got
beat
the
in that match.
Shit kicked out of him. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
One of my favorite matches of all time.
It's amazing. Yeah. And not just because Cena gets the shit kicked out of him, but just because. It was
the story.
I don't know. It was and we're gonna get to him in a couple of matches here. But it was the reason. It was like Brock Lesnar showing why he was the one who should have been involved in this event that we're talking about today. All right, up next in the card. Speaking of John Cena. Oh, by the way, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, 13 minutes 25 seconds. Not bad.
That's too long for a Battle Royal. I feel
you think for 31. Man,
yeah.
That's right, because they were all in the ring at the same time. So I guess it wasn't like a rumble. It was like it
no,
was
a battle royal. They were all in the ring, so that's a little much.
All right, that's fair. All right, up next we have a singles match here. First one of those in a while. It was just two matches ago. We had John Cena facing off against Bray Wyatt with the Wyatt family. And what was the story here? Basically just mind games from Bray Wyatt. He just decided to mess with Cena.
Yeah, you know, was Cena going to turn to the dark side? Kind of like when Kane came back right before WrestleMania 29.
Yeah. It was a big thing for him for a while, like to try to turn Cena heel.
Give into the hate, and Cena didn't do it.
And now I'm kind of glad he didn't, because I love John Cena.
Well, he was
supposed to.
Not even supposedly. Cena's gone on record that he was supposed to turn heel after WrestleMania 28.
Okay.
And he had a singlet made up. He had a new theme song made. And his thing was going to be, he was going to be a wrestler. He was going to wear a one-piece singlet. And his catchphrase was going to be, "Fear my name."
Interesting. Huh.
That's documented from him himself. Like, he apparently wore the singlet on an episode of Total Divas or Total Bellas or
I do remember that clip.
Silicone. I don't freaking know. But he wore the singlet, so yeah. And the theme song's online on YouTube. His heel theme.
Yeah.
So this was like a continuation of that.
Gotcha.
Bray Wyatt was trying to get him to go to the dark side, but you know, Cena prevailed. And a lot of people were very disappointed that Cena won the way he did. The fact that he won in general upset a lot of people, because Bray Wyatt was really coming onto his own. And this is early Bray Wyatt. This is the Wyatt family, just the two members of Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. It's crazy. Two of those guys are gone. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Oh.
Eric Rowan's the only one that's left. He was getting a lot of comparisons to Raven in his work in ECW with the promos and the cult. And it was like a cult, like the Undertaker's Ministry of Darkness kind of cult. It was like Raven's. It was like a more, you know, unfortunately, there are some individuals that are out there like that, a realistic cult, like follow me.
Like a Charles Manson type of situation.
Yeah, like those things like, oh, the asteroid's going over Earth. If we all do something, because we can't mention that for algorithms, if we all do something, we'll land on that asteroid and go across the galaxy. Like that kind of a cult leader.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cena just wouldn't give in, and he won, and it just kind of stunk. But to the credit of Bray Wyatt, the Wyatt family, and creative, it wasn't the it wasn't like they lost and they didn't get their momentum.
Yeah.
It just,
it wasn't like feeding a heel to Hulk Hogan in the 80s, where like once they lost, that was, they were done. There was nothing else for them to do. This was like, no, it either you could say that Bray Wyatt was elevated from this, or he like rose above it in spite of it. But either way.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. And they fought at WrestleMania. I don't remember the number. They fought at COVID WrestleMania.
That's our COVID Mania. What was that? WrestleMania 36. Yeah.
I think so. Doing the math of COVID. Before COVID was 4 years ago. So yeah, 36.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that. It's actually in the showcase mode for WWE 2K24, which you haven't gotten to that part yet. But
I have not. No.
It's a good story. It makes you want to go back and watch that actual match. But it was nothing. The storyline was good, but at the time, people were upset Cena won. I still think people are, but the character Bray Wyatt, it didn't derail it. In fact, some of their best matches come in the fall against the Shield.
There's literally one thing I remember about the match between Cena and Bray at WrestleMania 30.
Is it when he goes for the five-knuckle shuffle and he sits up with the crab?
No, it's when Bray is standing outside the ring and Cena grabs the ring steps and just fucking nails him in the face with him.
Yes. Well, see, that's the thing. Cena, man, he's, I wish he went heel just to see how he would perform.
I mean, he kind of did. I don't know. It's one of those things for like Schrodinger's wrestler, right? Like he's a heel if you didn't like him, right? Because that's what a heel is. He's a wrestler you don't like.
From a certain point of view.
That's why, again, going back to The Rock now, like, yeah, I mean, he's heel, but if you love The Rock, you're cheering for him. He's not a bad guy to you right now. You love him. You hate Cody.
If you look at the way, for 2 seconds, if you look at the way The Rock turned heel and what he said, they were at the press conference, and Cody said something to the effect of, you know, our fathers, talking to Roman, our fathers would be ashamed of you, or something to that effect.
He's a grandfather. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And The Rock said, don't talk about our family.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Right.
Which is true. A family issue is not Cody Rhodes' thing.
Right. Yeah.
That would be like The Rock telling Cody about Dustin, hey, Dustin, our fathers would be upset about Cody. Cody would be like, no, shut up.
Right. So, yeah. It's true.
Sometimes the realistic storylines are the best.
That's what I'm saying. So, all right. Well, that match, a pretty lengthy one on the card here. So far, the second longest of the night, coming in 22 minutes, 25 seconds. So it was not like a squash. It was a pretty back and forth. Yeah, it was a good back and forth. Just a lot of people don't agree with who came out on top there, but, you know, is what it is. All right, up next, I believe it's your match of the night, Lou, if I'm not mistaken. We have, with the streak on the line here, so going into this, Undertaker, was he 20-0 or 21-0?
21.
21-0 going into this. Was he going to be 22-0 after this match here? That's all it really was. It was just Lesnar wanting to conquer the streak. That's all the storyline was. Because he had lost to Undertaker years ago. Well, he beat him.
No,
and then
Lesnar had a winning record against Undertaker.
That's what it was. He was one of the few guys to dominate Undertaker in pretty much every match they've ever been in. So, yeah, you're right. So I think that was his thing. It's like, all right, well, if no one else can do it, why not the guy who's manhandled him pretty much every time? And you look back at those matches in the early 2000s, love those matches, because Taker, and I feel like it's funny because I think about Undertaker. I mean, he's a great wrestler, but there are certain wrestlers that do not work well with the Undertaker. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I tell you the most obvious one, and it's a shame because on paper it's great. I don't think Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin ever had a great match.
No, they didn't.
Ever. I just don't think they meshed well together. However, any match you watch with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker is amazing. And I think
The Undertaker's best opponents were Brock Lesnar, Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
And from a storyline and in-ring, his matches with Kane were not bad either, which is weird because they're the same style.
Well, that was the idea because the novelty of it kind of being almost like a mirror match, right? It's like in a fighting game when you're fighting yourself, just a very different costume.
Well, technically, The Undertaker did fight himself at one point.
Well, and that's true. That's a good point. Yes, he did. And that match sucked with the Underfaker. But no, there's one more guy I would add to that list, by the way. I would have to say Bret Hart.
Well, I mean, I can't say that. Well, Bret Hart. I mean, some of those guys... Shawn Michaels, pretty much everybody, but not necessarily. Shawn Michaels didn't want to work with you. He didn't work with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, his matches with Bret Hart were great. And Bret said that Taker loved working with him and he begged to work with Bret Hart. He's like, if they let me work with you, they're going to let me wrestle.
Yeah.
Meaning not be the Frankenstein, as Bret called him.
Right. He was allowed
which is
to.
True.
Yeah.
He was allowed to wrestle. And if you go to my knowledge, one of their earliest big matches was the Royal Rumble 96.
Yeah, it was before WrestleMania 12. Yep, that's when Diesel showed up. Yep.
Yeah, I Ain't Afraid of the Dark. That's good shit.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you needed. But Undertaker wrestled. He wrestled in that match. And it was great. To me, it's one of the unsung matches of Undertaker's career. But yeah, Taker and Bret. But also look at the names we're mentioning. Bret, Shawn, Foley, Lesnar, like these are all-time greats.
It's true, and I guess you look at those guys and who have they had bad matches with, and there's not many to think of.
There's a few.
And that's fair. But going back to it, Lesnar, amazing matches with The Undertaker back in the early 2000s, I guess 10 years prior to almost just over 10 years.
About, yeah.
Yeah, and so Lesnar came back, finally back in the, you know, in the situation here with The Undertaker, wants to beat a streak, and that's what it boiled down to. Now, going into this match, Lou, did you think Lesnar was going to end the streak?
No.
You truly did not. You thought,
did not.
Nope.
I thought, you know what I thought? I thought next year Bray Wyatt's going to break it.
You thought they're saving it for Wyatt at WrestleMania 31
because
or whatever?
I thought it was always going to be somebody that was up and coming.
Yeah.
Prior to this, the only other time I go, oh boy, this might happen tonight is when he fought Orton at 21.
Yeah.
I thought Orton had a real... Prior to this, that was the one that made me the most nervous, was Orton winning.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good indication he was going to beat Batista. Well, I'll go through this really quick. So Kane, he was going to beat Kane at 20. Orton, I was very, very, very worried about. Apparently, he wanted to lose to Mark Henry at 22. He wanted to lose to him.
Which is
Vince
weird.
Vince said no. 23, he beat Batista. I knew he was going to beat Batista. Edge at 24 had me nervous also.
Yeah.
Because Edge was already a main eventer, but that victory would have really
on it. I feel like that's another guy that always had pretty good matches with The Undertaker, too.
Yeah. So that was another one I was worried. And then the whole trilogy with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, I never really thought they were going to.
I don't know, man, because we watched WrestleMania 27 together in that match, and there was a few times where there were a few times where you thought maybe Triple H was going to do it, and
yep.
I would have been pissed. You said, you kept saying, like, if he wins, we're going home, we're leaving, I'm not staying, I'm not sticking around for this. And then he fought. Did you think Punk was going to win?
No.
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 Okay.
No, I didn't think Punk was going to win, but so I didn't think Lesnar was going to win here.
I was going to say, so you thought his record was like, okay, well, he's going to fight guys like Lesnar, he's just going to retire undefeated at WrestleMania.
It would have been, in the grand scheme of things, let's say Taker beats Lesnar and his in-ring health stays pretty good.
Yeah.
When he lost to Roman Reigns, that should have been it.
Yeah.
That should have been it. That's the new big dog.
That was a terrible match. My God. But anyway, that's WrestleMania 31, right? Or 32?
No, 31 was...
31 was Bray.
Wyatt. And then 32 was Shane.
Shane, and then 33 was Roman. That's right. And so by then he was pretty broken. But that is not what happened on this night. In what is the second longest match of the night at 25 minutes and 12 seconds, Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman at his side defeated The Undertaker cleanly in the middle of the ring after, what, three F5s?
I think three. The last three one F5. Was crazy because he had Lesnar on the tombstone. Lesnar reverses it and this literally throws Taker.
Deadlifts him up under his shoulders.
After wrestling 25 minutes.
Yep.
And then he takes 300 pounds and goes, yep, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Puts him down. 1, 2, 3. Now, it's been well documented since then that The Undertaker suffered a concussion pretty early in the match. I don't remember if they ever said what spot it was. Do you remember?
It was. It's Taker's going for a kick on the outside. Lesnar catches it and he just pushes him backwards.
So it wasn't even anything big. It was, and that's the thing about wrestling. It's like it's the littlest moves where people actually get injured and they got to play it off like it's a big thing.
It's funny you say that because there was an interview with Matt Hardy with all those TLC matches. And he goes, the worst injury I got is like barely even on the screen. It's like one of the guys take the ladder. The ladder's upright and he just take and kind of like hit him with it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little dink.
Yeah.
He's like, and I didn't have my hands up. And it gashed my head open.
That's right.
He's like, it wasn't me falling through inside the ring out. Or full, like he took some big bumps when Edge and Christian win the titles at 16.
Yeah.
He literally gets thrown head over heels and lands in the ring on a table.
Yep.
Then at SummerSlam that following year, he's on the a really tall ladder with Bubba and he gets thrown from the inside to the out for like five tables. No, it's not that. It's a little like ow. Like you can actually see, like you see it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's so innocent. It's, ow, what the fuck? Like, what happened?
Right, yeah.
And this is the same thing. It was just Lesnar pushed Taker backwards and not a good landing.
Yeah. And it just, and so that kind of just knocked him out. And then, the rest of the match, you can see he's kind of out of, he still performs. He still does his moves. But, like, you can tell, like, he's like an autopilot almost. It's weird because you can see it. Like, you can see where he's just looking. Because I have watched this match and he just.
I have not watched this match.
Not since then. But you've seen it. Like, but what I'm saying is I watched it and, like, seeing it is like, oof, you can tell he's not in good shape. But I remember. Okay, so I want to talk about this because I want to get your thoughts on it. So in an interview, like, it was like almost like a TED talk that Paul Heyman did. Have you seen this on YouTube where he. Basically, he's like playing it up to the fans, trying to like mess with their heads.
It was like he was like on stage.
Yeah, and he was like
maybe
in character,
Brock Lesnar went into business for himself.
It's like you never know. Like he could have, and who is going to stop Brock Lesnar?
He's a living gimmick.
I know, but like even to this day, like there's not many people that can make me go, yeah, you might be right. So like, what are your thoughts? Like, do you feel what happened that night was what was supposed to happen?
If it wasn't, I think Brock Lesnar, the very, very, very little we know about this man in general, but especially us. Been in for 10 seconds. I don't know. The little that I do know about Brock Lesnar, I know Brock Lesnar does respect The Undertaker.
That's fair.
And I know Paul Heyman respects The Undertaker.
Yeah.
I think... If it wasn't, I'm pretty sure, McMahon has gone on record as saying that he made the decision.
Yeah.
But Vince is also, in the past, taking credit for things when it wasn't. Yes, he rang the bell for the screw job, but he told Sean, don't tell anybody you had anything to do with it. Let it be me. They can't hate somebody else. It's like the Herb Brooks from the 1980 Olympics. The team can't hate themselves if they hate me.
Right.
That was Herb Brooks. And that's how Vince kind of held, the locker room. They can't hate each other. They can't hate Brock if they hate me. They can't hate Sean for the screw job if they hate me.
Yeah.
If it was an audible, it came from Taker that he was injured.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it wasn't like he was... I mean, it's different comparisons, but it's the only one that's jumping in my head. When Austin got dumped on his head by Owen Hart.
Right.
That was an audible, like, holy shit, he can't move. We have to end this match somehow. Taker picked him up for a tombstone.
Yeah.
He hit a tombstone.
So, yeah.
If he said, I'm hurt, stay down.
Right.
You hit him with one instead of two.
Right.
And you cut out the extra shenanigans.
Yeah.
If he was supposed to win. So it wasn't like Undertaker was incapable of finishing the match, especially if he was taking F5s. So right. He was good enough to lift up Lesnar, good enough to take the punishment.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is he felt like shit, and he goes, this is it.
Yeah.
Might as well do it now. But I've also read that Vince wanted to shock everybody on the WWE Network. He wanted to make it must-see TV. He wanted to do something big. The other thing I heard was Vince saw what physical shape Undertaker was in. He goes, I can't, there's no way I can do this.
Yeah.
I can't have him beat him. I can't have this guy over here, who is at the tail end of his career, beat this guy who's made of granite.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've read was they were going to say, well, he brought in Brock Lesnar and he lost to Cena. Then he lost to Triple H, and now he's going to lose to Undertaker. Like, we're not getting any return on our investment.
He had to beat
What's
somebody.
The point if he keeps losing?
Right.
So how do we get him to that next level? Well, here you go.
There it is.
I don't think Brock Lesnar took liberty into himself.
Okay. I think
it was either Vince or, at the absolute worst, Taker made the call and Lesnar, okay?
Yeah. Okay. I would agree. I don't think he did it maliciously, even if it was, not the plan.
Because if somebody wants to kick out, look at Sting versus Jeff Hardy at TNA when Hardy was under the influence.
Right. Yeah.
Sting held him down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, probably didn't take
stay
much,
down.
But...
yeah.
You know.
Stay down.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it was the right call?
In hindsight, I think Lesnar shouldn't have been in that match at all, but if he was in that match, he had to win, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
especially going into it, like you said, he lost to Triple H, he lost to Cena, he lost, who was the other one he lost to?
He lost to Cena, he lost to Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah, and big matches, yeah, he lost to them both.
He lost, yeah. So, like, if you want him to, and let's be honest with you, for almost 10 years, Brock Lesnar has been a mega draw, and it started here,
yeah,
in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I think it wasn't a mistake for what they did, but God, I wish there was a multiverse so you could have seen what it was like for something else to happen. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you do that in the video game. If you lose, you see Undertaker celebrating with the 22-0 on the screen.
That's right. And cool. So people probably screenshot that and make that as their wallpaper and go, see, no, it didn't happen. It's fine. Everything's good.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, of course. Because you, like you said, you've never watched this match again. And in fact, let me ask you, because we were texting. I wasn't watching the match, but you texted me the moment it happened and you're like, holy shit, dude. Like,
he lost.
Instant.
Now, if we're on YouTube, if I upload this on YouTube, this whole thing should just be the dude in the front row with the eyes.
Yes. Who I supposedly makes it into the latest WWE game, by the way, in the cutscenes.
They show him.
Yeah.
They show him the cutscene, just like all the fans going, what the F just happened?
Yeah.
I legitimately have goosebumps because Vince did do what he set out to do. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about it. Sports Illustrated covered it. CBS covered it. And I'm saying this because I read on Wikipedia all the media outlets other than, WrestleMania has record revenue for New Orleans. Like, no, it was The Undertaker lost.
Yeah. And that was...
The Undertaker lost.
Yeah.
And I like when it's a famous meme of two women. Do men even have emotion? And it was just the Undertaker on his back with 22-21-1, or the other one, when boys became men, or men shed their first tears, or men showed them, like, there's so many men having emotion memes, about Undertaker losing that night. I cried.
Yeah,
not ashamed to say it.
No, man, it was a big.
I'm like, this is it.
I mean, because that was your favorite wrestler of all time, so like that's a huge thing. Now, just imagine if, because I mean, he was taken out and taken to the hospital. But imagine if he also then did what he did with Roman a few years later, where he like took his gloves off and everything like that and just left it in the ring and just made it a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like that just, oof.
I kind of wish he did. It should have been the end.
Well, he did. Yeah, it was diminishing returns after that pretty quickly, unfortunately.
His only other good match was against Bray the following year. And then
unless you count the cinematic match against AJ.
Yeah. But you know what? That's the kind of opponent he needed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
He needed a guy like AJ Styles to bounce around for him. But
well, it wasn't even bouncing, really, because, again, it was all like cinematic angles and stuff like that, which anyone could do, you know?
No, I'm talking about like if they actually had the match.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If they were to actually wrestle in the ring, then he would have been the perfect opponent to do it.
Yes. You know?
But yeah, that's fair. All right. So we are now approaching our questionable semi-main event here. The Vicky Guerrero.
Can you just imagine being backstage and you're warming up?
Yeah.
And 1, 2, 3, you go, fuck, how do I follow that?
Yeah, well, and maybe that's why they put this match on next, because they knew they were going to follow. So they literally needed like a mental health match. So
talk about the most dead match crowd ever.
My God.
Yeah, I mean, ever.
Yeah, so they were so deflated over the Lesnar-Taker match. So we have the Vicky Guerrero Invitational match for the WWE Divas Championship.
Oh, the Divas!
Yes, the Butterfly Championship.
New Japan belt that they have now? It looks like the Divas title. The New Japan title looks like... Yeah,
I haven't looked at it lately. Okay, so they did a new one then, I guess.
They did one a couple of years ago with Jay White, got it. And it looks like it's...
Oh, you're talking about like the men's title. Yes, it looks terrible. Yeah. Hate it. Can't stand it. It kind of looks like the Street Fighter Cody Rhodes neck tattoo logo. Anyway.
It does. Yeah.
It really does. So we had AJ Lee as the champion facing off against Oksana. Remember her?
No, I don't.
Exactly. Alicia Fox. Actually, I do remember Oksana had like one of the best entrance musics of all time. Go look it up when you get a chance.
Did she?
I love her entrance music. That's all I know about her. Alicia Fox. Everyone loves her. Brie Bella, Cameron, aka Naomi, right?
Now maybe is
Wasn't
it
Cameron Naomi? Or were they?
She was a Funkadactyl.
Yeah, unless she was the other Funkadactyl. I don't remember.
Maybe
Emma, Eva Marie, Layla, Naomi, Natalia, Nikki Bella, Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, and Tamina Snuka. And she beat them all. I the way this is worded, I don't know, and I haven't watched this match. So it says she won this match by submission. What does that mean?
It means she didn't lose the title. Next.
Do you remember
Should have just been AJ versus Natalia.
Yeah.
Just AJ versus Natalia.
Something. Well, but again, like, I don't know.
This is a bad era for women's wrestling.
It's a terrible era for women's wrestling. It's a questionable era for wrestling in general at this point, I would say. They were good numbers, but like, this was the weird time. And not just because I wasn't watching anymore, but I feel like there was probably a reason I wasn't watching anymore. You know what I mean? And this was it.
But you know why I don't know how this match turned out? Because I never watched it, because I left the WrestleMania party I was at.
Oh, you didn't even watch the main event then?
They go, do you want to watch the main event? I don't give a shit. Bye. I left.
Yeah.
I said, I'm serious. I said, I'm not going to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
Done.
No, I know. It was a big thing, and you weren't alone in that. A lot of people felt the same way.
Yep.
But for those who did stick around, we do have... Oh, by the way, the Women's Divas Championship match, 6 minutes, 48 seconds.
So riveting. Nice
riveting palate cleanser. Leading us to our main event, though, our triple threat for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, because every once in a while, you got to throw in two belts and bring them together. They do it all the time. Well, I feel like it's every almost 10 years.
Not even. They did that with Roman and Brock at this point 2 years ago. Two belts combined.
Did they?
They had the Universal and the WWE title, and then they go,
Brock. That's true.
Yeah, Brock lost, but there's no title in Raw, so why don't you do another title? It's the I Can't Beat Roman title.
That's fair.
WWE is so stupid. You know, I'm playing the game now, and they show They show photos of like Hogan with the winged eagle and Savage with his winged eagle and Austin with the Attitude Era belt. I'm like, clear cut WWF champion. Not Universal, not World Heavyweight, not of Saturday Morning Super. That wasn't Hogan was Saturday Morning Superstars World Champion and Savage was Wrestling Challenge World Champion. It was just one champion. Simple.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I don't like the dual championship garbage.
Well, it's been going for over 20 years at this point, so, you know, it's been going more than it hasn't.
There's been more WrestleManias with two champions and two brand splits than without.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yep. We're almost to a point now where we've had the newest WWE logo longer than we had the scratch WWE logo.
We've had more WWE WrestleManias than WWF WrestleManias. There were only 18 WWF WrestleManias.
That's right. And now we're way over that as far as, so there disgusting. It is, folks. Make you feel old. Let's talk main event here. We have Daniel Bryan challenging Randy Orton and Batista in a triple threat match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Of course, Daniel Bryan, as we said, earned his way in by defeating Triple H in match number two of the night, which is good because he got the shit kicked out of him. He needed time to rest up for this main event. He was looking pretty banged up, if you recall. He was taped up and he was, you know... The odds were stacked. Like, I mean, like, puts Diamond Dallas Page to shame with the amount of tape on this man's body going into this match.
Dude, if you always had tape ribs in like 98, 97.
Well, it's because apparently Macho Man kept breaking his damn ribs with the elbow drop.
Yeah. Great storytelling.
He said, like, no, he's like, you wonder how it looks so real. He really hit us with the elbow drop.
Did he really?
He wasn't messing around. Yeah, that's what Page always said. He's like, those things hurt like a motherfucker.
Yeah, but the thing is, because Savage had some creative control in his matches, not as much as Hogan.
Yeah. Right.
And Macho Man was testing Page. And one day, Arn Anderson, who was an agent, goes, all right, guys, what do you want to do for the finish? And he's like, I think I want to take the diamond cutter. Page earned his respect.
There it is.
Great feud.
Well, speaking of respect here, Daniel Bryan are certainly earning the respect of the fans here tonight, and in the total opposite end of the spectrum here, Batista and Randy Orton, clearly the heels in this match for whether they wanted to be or not, they were not going to get cheered tonight if they're going against Daniel Bryan, who was their guy. Again, this is a match I've never seen, but you had mentioned earlier that if Daniel Bryan were not in this match, there was a pivotal moment that you feel could not have happened. What was that moment you're talking about?
This whole match... if Daniel Bryan was not in this main event, I do not think Brock Lesnar would have beaten The Undertaker. Daniel Bryan would not have been in this main event if CM Punk did not leave the WWE. Therefore, my conclusion is that CM Punk leaving the WWE after the Royal Rumble snowballed the butterfly effect. CM Punk leaving, butterfly affected, and eventually had The Undertaker lose at WrestleMania. It's a weird theory, but that's I think it's weird.
I mean, there's math to it. I feel like you've got some actual scientific evidence that could indicate that, you know?
Yeah.
So
the match,
you mentioned you left.
Yeah, I did watch the match, though. I did watch it. On the network, I said, you know, I should probably watch this. It was essentially what we thought it was going to be. It was, the 2-on-1, then the underdog's going to fight and claw his way up and against the big guys, the established guys, the establishment. And, you know, he was like the technical wrestling Steve Austin, if that makes any sense. I mean, Steve Austin was a technical wrestler, but it was, they don't want me here and I'm going to be here. I'm one of them. And, you know, It worked. There was no way he wasn't going to win that. In general,
right.
when he beat Triple H, you knew he was going to win. When Undertaker lost, you go, there's no way Daniel Bryan's not winning. No way. There's no way. So it was pretty predictable.
They can't end it on a sad note.
No, they couldn't have. There was one monster bump he took. There was a power bomb into, they called it an RKO, but an RKO is not a neck breaker, through one of the tables, the announce tables. It was pretty crazy.
It still looked cool. Yeah. I would say it looked pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It was good, but it didn't need to be great. The story was there. And that's the main event that was all about story.
Yep. And the people went home happy, especially after earlier in the night. That's what matters.
Exactly.
The miracle on happy. Bourbon Street.
Yes. Hogan must pose.
That's right.
Wait, is this where Hogan said the Silver Dome instead of the Superdome?
I think so. Yeah, because they were in New Orleans, and it was a Superdome. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about that at the beginning of the show. Big moment there with The Rock, Hulk Hogan, and Stone Cold kind of opening the show there.
Yep.
And, and that ends WrestleMania 30. The, okay, there it is. And then Daniel Bryan got injured soon after this and had to forfeit the title, which he's cursed because then he won the IC title the next year and did the same thing again with the injury and just cursed.
And he's cursed. And then if you watch him in AEW and I see how he fights, it's like, dude, you're not supposed to be fighting like that. Like, just
nope.
This past Saturday, fought some guy named Shibata, I think. I don't know too much about Japanese wrestling.
And that was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy was very, very near death, almost severely injured at one point in his career. And these guys are just legitimately punching each other in the head. Like, they've had no history of head injuries, these two. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one thing I want to mention is, according to our followers on YouTube, we put up a poll between WrestleMania 10, 20, and 30, which was their favorite. The overwhelming winner at 62% was WrestleMania 30.
Really?
62% picked WrestleMania 30, 27% picked WrestleMania 20, and 11% picked WrestleMania 10.
I wonder if it's maybe we just, our audience on YouTube is really young then. I'm wondering if this was like their WrestleMania 20. I don't know. Because it's funny, and I'll tell you why, because there's a guy I work with. Shout out to Brennan, by the way, if you're listening, bro, which I don't think he is. But
he should be.
If he did, he told me, because he's playing WWE 2K as well, and I'm like, what do you think of the showcase mode? He's, I don't know, man. I kind of skipped through it. I didn't watch wrestling in the 90s. That was lame. He apparently got into wrestling, because he's a younger guy. He's in his like early 20s. He's like, I got into wrestling in 2009. That's when he first started watching wrestling.
Ugh, gross.
And by then, I had stopped watching wrestling. Yeah. And so someone like that, it makes sense that WrestleMania 30 would be his favorite because that's the one he has the most nostalgia tied to it.
It also depends what kind of fan you are.
And that's
There's wrestling fans and then there's WWE fans.
Yeah.
And then there's wrestling fans and there's AEW fans. There are certain fans that only watch that genre or company of wrestling. I fancy myself of being a wrestling fan. There was a time I liked WCW. There was a time I didn't like them. There was a time I liked ECW. And then, well, I always liked ECW. I like AEW, but I don't love it. I like it. I don't love it. So, but there are some that are just, I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm a WWE fan. That's fine. There are some people that are WWE fans, but only of the era they watch, and everything else before or after is not good. And I'm not like that either. I prefer, it's funny. I grew up in the Attitude Era, and the older I get, the more I don't like the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
The more I go with, I'd rather watch the Golden Era of Hogan, Warrior, Savage, like that, or the Ruthless Aggression Era with Lesnar and early John Cena, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels came back, the SmackDown 6. It's different. But
yeah,
to each their own. They like the streak ending and they can all go to hell. I mean, thank you for subscribing.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, that does wrap up our discussion of WrestleMania 30. And, you know, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we're getting that much closer to closing the chapter on Generation S. Not the book, but the chapter, because as I mentioned, we've got one more episode of Generation S before pivoting to a brand new show here on this feed, Backwards Compatible, the Retro Gaming Podcast, kicking things off with a perfectly poetically justified episode. We're talking WWF WrestleMania 2000 on the Nintendo 64, the unsung hero of the THQ Aki wrestling games, the ugly redheaded middle stepchild, whatever you want to call it, you know. And so we'll be talking about that in a couple weeks. Next week, by the way, guys, I can't remember. We may have already hyped it up. So if you already know, that's probably because I already told you. But I can't remember if I did. So I'm going to act like it's a big surprise. But next week, guys, we are wrapping up our main run of Generation S with a wrestling discussion on what is considered by many in apparently just our generation to be the greatest WrestleMania of all time. We're going back and doing a deep dive on WrestleMania X7, aka WrestleMania 17.
From 2001, this is the grand finale of the Attitude Era. This is a time period where WCW is out of business. They are bought. I mean, we're going literally to the day. WCW was bought like a week or two before this event. ECW is like, is technically around, but they're not running any shows. They're on life support right now. WrestleMania 18, I feel like, is the after party.
Yeah.
And this is the main event of the Attitude Era. This is everything that WWF has been working for since, in my opinion, WrestleMania 13 was the start of the Attitude Era. And now this is it. This is the culmination.
Yep. And I'm very excited to talk about it because it's one of the most memorable, one of the best match cards, one of the best pre-match hype videos, promo videos, whatever. We'll talk all about it next week. Everything. But until then, guys, make sure you are subscribed to the channel, be it on YouTube or on your favorite podcast feed of choice. And again, I would say share this show out with a friend if you think they'd like this kind of stuff. But as I mentioned, we're kind of switching gears here. We've got plenty of episodes of old 90s nostalgia on this feed at this point, well over 80 episodes. So if you know anybody who was interested in kind of doing a binge on 80 episodes, that should last you at least a few road trips if you're listening to it. Yeah. But if you're also really excited about hearing all about our thoughts on retro video games going forward, make sure you are sticking around, whatever. I don't care. Do it. Just hang around. We're going to be kicking things off here in a couple weeks. Brand new logo, brand new song intro, and brand new focused discussions on old video games ranging from Nintendo all the way up to, because it's technically old now, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, which apparently, if our audience here is anything like our audience on YouTube, Xbox 360 would have been before you were born in some cases, apparently. So
that was the first system I had.
That's right. Yeah, that was. I think my older brother had one of those before I got into video games. You know, we'll probably hear that on there. Anyway, either way, very excited. We'll talk more about it again next week as we wrap up Generation S Phase 1 with our discussion on WrestleMania X7. And until then, thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, we'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.